welcome to the podcast. Last time we met together, we reviewed what the Bible says about Saul of Tarsus, the man before he became known to us as Paul, his first meeting with Jesus Christ, and his actions that followed that meeting. It's best to listen to this podcast in order because often one episode builds on another, and today's episode is a prime example of that. So I hope you're all caught up on 1 through 9 before you listen further. Today, I'm going to be referencing many verses back and forth, so buckle in and pay close attention. I encourage you to get pen and paper so you can study these passages later on your own, as I encourage you to do with every Bible teacher, including me. You'll hear me use the name Saul sometimes and Paul at other times. That's intentional. I'll be using the name the Bible uses based on the timing of events. As I mentioned in the last episode, the book of Acts is an historic timeline stretching from 33 AD to 65 AD. Looking at the details, we see that Luke chronicles the history of the transition from righteousness through obedience to the Mosaic law for Jews only to justification available to all apart from Israel and her laws. When we stopped last time, Saul had become a believer in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, the very Christ, as he was proving to the Jews in Damascus in Acts 9:22. The next verse, 9:23, mentions that many days were fulfilled there in Damascus. Take note of that. We'll come back to it. Then in 9:27-30, Saul, this man known for persecuting the Jerusalem Jews, was taken to the apostles in Jerusalem, where Barnabas vouched for him, assuring them that Saul had changed and had been boldly preaching the name of Jesus in Damascus. Saul was accepted by the apostles as teaching the same thing that John the Baptist, Peter, and his flock had been preaching, that Jesus was the Son of God, Israel's Messiah, the Christ. At the end of this section, in verses 29 and 30, we read that Saul disputed against the Grecians, or Hellenists. These were Greek Jews who went about to murder Saul for his teachings about Jesus. This threat is what prompted him to return to his hometown, Tarsus, which was in the region of Cilicia. I point out this fact because it's brought up again in Galatians, and chapters 1 and 2 there help us to understand the timing of these events surrounding Saul that we read in Acts 9. When Paul recounts the story for the churches in Galatia in chapter 1, 17 through 24, he says he was in Damascus for 3 years, those many days mentioned back in Acts 9:23. Then he went to Jerusalem to see Peter for 15 days, then went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia where Tarsus was. When we go back to Acts 9:22-31, we see the events that took place during these time frames that he outlined in Galatians. Okay, let's take a step back and look at the big picture of what we've seen so far in Acts. The message has been that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Jewish Messiah. The message has been only to Jews, and they've been told to believe Jesus is Messiah, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, because judgment and their Jewish kingdom are coming soon, as promised by the prophets. We see these believing Jews still going into the temple, so that means they're still obeying the Jewish law in order to be found faithful for entrance into their kingdom. We see Israel's leaders continuing to reject their Messiah. And then we see Saul enter the picture, believe Jesus is Messiah, preach that to the Jews, and head to Tarsus. Then in Acts 9:32, the focus goes back to Peter. And what do we see occur in chapters 10 and 11? For the first time, the message of the Messianic kingdom opens up to all non-Jews, those of the nations, giving them the opportunity to be part of the Jewish people. Recall that the Greek word translated Gentile is ethnos, meaning nations. This happens around 40-41 AD, so 7 to 8 years after Pentecost. As Acts 11:18 points out, God had granted these Gentiles life through repentance, not life by grace through faith, not of works, which is our gospel. Peter is still holding to Jewish law, as seen in Acts 10, verses 14 and 28. He says in verses 34 and 35, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So Peter is still teaching the kingdom message, works righteousness through obedience to the Mosaic law. Judgment is coming. Be obedient so you can enter into life, Messiah's kingdom, where Messiah will reign from David's throne in Jerusalem. That is what God had promised the nation of Israel through the prophets. And Peter's message stayed true to those promises throughout Acts. Acts 11:25-30 brings Saul back to Jerusalem, and Acts 12 is about Peter. Then, in Acts 12:25 forward, we see the shift move to and stay with Saul, and some interesting things occur. 13:2 reads, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." This sounds like something new or different is coming, and this is about 45 AD, some 13 years after the resurrection and Pentecost. What has God separated Saul for? Well, let's keep looking. In 13:9, another interesting thing happens. The Bible changes how it refers to Saul, becoming Paul from this point forward, unless Paul is speaking about his past when he was called Saul. This name switch is almost an oh, by the way thing, but let's read on to see if anything else new pops up. In 13:16, we see Paul starting to speak to a group gathered in Antioch and Pisidia. He addresses the group as men of Israel and ye that fear God. Presumably the latter are God-fearing Gentiles like Cornelius was. Paul gives them a brief overview of Israel's history, then announces something not recorded before in Scripture. Verses 38 and 39 read, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now the law did justify, but not all things. For example, those who were guilty of premeditated murder had to bear a penalty. So this was something very new. And this was not something that John the Baptist, Peter, or even Saul before had been teaching. As you can imagine, the non-Jews were eager to hear more. This indeed was good news, because no longer did they need to convert to Judaism in order to be justified. As Paul told the Ephesian Gentiles in Ephesians 2:11-13, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now they had hope, apart from Judaism, apart from Israel, apart from her laws." Next time, we're going to look more into Paul's words and examine the claims he made. Thanks for tuning in.